and welcome to this week's Ukraine Calling program. I'm Oksana Smirchuk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. We'll have a roundup of the weekly news for you, some culture and some music. We're bringing you a feature interview with President of the British Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce, Bate C. Tomes. But first, the news. Ukraine is concerned that the European Council might consider lifting sanctions against Russia in December and potentially restore Moscow's voting rights, which were revoked in 2014 after Russia annexed Crimea. Russia has been trying to get its seat back for months. It stopped paying dues in June and has been actively lobbying key members. On Monday, 27th of November, the Council's Secretary-General, Torbjörn Jagland, spoke in favor of returning Russia to the Parliamentary Assembly. Ukraine strongly protested. Volodymyr Ariev, head of the Ukrainian delegation to PACE, said that the return of the Russian delegation would discredit the Council of Europe. Others expressed concern that PACE would cave to Russian pressure and blackmail. Crimean Tatar leader Mustafa Jemiliev told media this week that Russia is resettling Crimea with people from the occupied territories of Donbas and mainland Russia, while continuing to create conditions where locals are forced to leave. According to Jemiliev, 250,000 people from the Donbas and 300,000 from Russia have been moved to Crimea. Over the last week, the situation on the front line remained tense. There were exchanges of attacks from a large distance and armed collisions between subversive groups. Ukrainian forces took control of two villages, Travneve and Hladsove, in the Donetsk region, and this has allowed the distribution of humanitarian aid among the local population. In the meantime, the Ukrainian military press service reported that pro-Russian forces have shelled those settlements on November the 28th. As a result of shelling and several armed collisions, Ukrainian forces suffered losses. Over the last week, 6 Ukrainian servicemen were killed, 11 wounded, and 1 captured by the enemy. Police detained 60 people at a meeting of alleged crime bosses in a restaurant in Pushta-Voditsa on the 26th of November. It's a well-to-do suburb of Kyiv. Ukraine's National Police Force issued a statement that the gathering included powerful crime bosses who were able to influence the criminal situation in Kyiv and other regions of the country. Police also arrested 3 war veterans who have been protesting against President Poroshenko. Kyiv Post reported that Oleksandr Novikov, Anatoly Vinohorodsky, and Leonid Litvinenko were detained. They were among the organizers of the tent city in front of parliament that is calling for the president's impeachment. They are also under investigation in 2 criminal cases. Novikov is a veteran of the battalion Donbas. The long-standing tensions between the National Anti-Corruption Bureau, NABU, and the General Prosecutor's Office flared up again this week, raising new concerns about the political will to combat corruption and the techniques employed. On the 29th of November, the State Security Service, SBU, arrested an undercover NABU agent during what the latter described as an important sting operation to expose a massive criminal group within the State Migration Service. The NABU accused the General Procuracy and the SBU of interfering in its work and sabotaging an important operation. NABU was accused of using the undercover agent to provoke a bribe from the first deputy head of the State Migration Service.
Well, welcome to our in-depth discussion. And this week, it's my pleasure and honor to have a friend and a colleague now, the long-standing chairman of the British-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce, Bate C. Tomes, who's been here since donkey's years, as the British would say. Welcome to the program, Bate.
Pleasure to be here.
Now tell us, you've been here how many years?
26. Started in 1991.
What did you do to deserve this, a reward or punishment?
It was probably the one thing in my life that I didn't actually plan. I was brought here by a large multinational fruit processor, whom I'd been working for in Moscow. And that began after I organized the Yale Law School alumni reunion in Moscow in 1989. That was a huge event. We had over 200 people, including the past president of Germany, a former Secretary of State of the United States, the leader of the opposition in Germany.
You're still involved with the Yale alumni, and we'll return to that in a second.
Sure.
But tell us a little bit about, okay, so you arrived here. You're a lawyer by profession, by background.
We had this big event in Moscow. Best Foods afterwards saw that I had a good working relationship with the head of all the lawyers in the Soviet Union. They asked me to help in their projects in Moscow. After the coup in Moscow, they were a little unsettled by what was going on in Moscow. And as some of you may remember, it got a bit difficult. And they thought Ukraine, which apparently has the highest per capita consumption in the world of mayonnaise, would be a better location, especially as they have the number that my client produced, Hellmann's Mayonnaise, the world's number one mayonnaise brand. And that brought me here.
Well, that's very interesting. But as I say, you're a lawyer. So you were giving initially what, legal advice, legal opinion?
Legal advice on how to set up businesses here for them, how to deal with problems they were having importing product.
And then you set up your own company here?
I set up my own business virtually at the same time.
So it must have been successful if you've been here over 20 years.
Well, I within 2 weeks of coming here, ended up representing one of the world's largest multinational oil and gas companies, one of the first oil and gas startups, the principal real estate developer. In the early years, I was the only Western lawyer here.
So it suggests that you were not only eminently qualified professionally, but you were here at the right time.
I'd say down to luck.
Okay, well, that's very good. So look, just for our listeners, before we get to the British Chamber of Commerce, British-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce, highlights of your professional career here in
sure.
your company.
Well, one of the biggest, I did the first IPO, initial public offering, on the London Stock Exchange for an oil and gas company. We raised about $500 million. I did all the documentation and really worked on that around the clock. Then,
did you have a team?
Had a team put together. And then we almost immediately worked on the first project financing in the country and the first major project of the EBRD, which was also completely successful. Very hard to get that first deal through the EBRD. I more or less lived in the EBRD headquarters in London for the better part of months.
Can you break down the acronym? Not all our listeners know.
The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, which has over the years been the principal source of finance for projects in Ukraine. Excellent institution. And then I actually helped initiate it. It was my idea. And then did most of the legal work for the largest energy transaction ever done in Ukraine by money actually spent, and handled the legal work for the largest agricultural transaction, the sale of a farm that I spent 8 years doing the legal work for. We did pre-IPO finance and IPO finance, and they were sold for about 300 million euros. And then I won the largest arbitration in the history of Ukraine, to my knowledge, which was for $150 million for an oil and gas company in the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague. So we've done a lot of things, but those are sort of highlights.
Well, you say modestly. Anyway, before we get again to the chamber, if we look at how the legal environment has been changing, so those were pioneering days. I guess the legislation was still being put into place. The practices weren't set. We've had the problems with corruption, the oligarchs, etc. If you look at that transition, that period, is it easier to do business today or more difficult?
I'd make two comments. First, it's never been as difficult as people have said. A lot of the problems people have had here have been down to sloppiness. If you do your homework and you do things properly, ever since I've been here, you've been able to do deals. We've never had a deal that couldn't be done or that was property was taken away or whatever. And the second is that the progress Ukraine has made in the past 26 years that I've been here is nothing short of incredible. When I came here, there weren't institutions. The bank was a branch of a bank in Moscow. The government, the ministries, they were all branches. The development of the national currency, the development of an accounting system. The huge developments. So it's easy to get discouraged that things are not perfect. But things are much, much better than they were, and much better, I think, than people realize, especially people in the West. This is a better place to do business. You can do business in Ukraine.
Looking back at those 26 years, when was the peak, the golden days?
Well, I guess the period 2006, 2007, through the middle of 2008, didn't have much to do with Ukraine. I think it had to do with the world economy. People were coming here, spending immense amounts of money, even on some projects that maybe were not so well thought out. And prices were run way up. And as everybody knows, with the great financial crisis, there was a very difficult period. There's another pretty good period in 2011 and 12, I think, was a decent period.
And now, looking back, obviously you brought a lot of...
By the way, I think things are picking up now again.
Okay. You brought a lot of external expertise here to help equip the teams here, government, business, to deal with the outside world, to do business. To what extent has a new generation emerged that is better equipped to deal with these tasks and challenges?
Well, there are a lot of very good lawyers, bankers, and others in Ukraine who have capabilities that didn't exist 10, 20 years ago, for sure. That still needs to be developed further, but the progress is extraordinary.
Okay, now let's turn again to the British-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce. How did you get involved with this body, and when was it set up?
Well, in 1997, John Burbage King and I talked about setting up the chamber, and I made several visits to Ambassador Komisarenko, the first Ukrainian ambassador to Great Britain, suggesting that we should do so. But at the time, there was still a Soviet-British chamber. And then one day in 1997, it was renamed the Russo-British Chamber with other CIS members. And the ambassador thought now was the time to have our own chamber. So I did that under the auspices of the embassy and the British government with John Burbage King. I was sort of busy at the time, so I set it up. But after it was set up, John and a few others took on the management. It was only about, I guess, 9 years ago that the then chairman, Jim Bowne, had to travel and felt it was too much of a burden and asked if I would take over. So he resigned. I was deputy chairman. I took over, and then I was reelected.
But tell us, Bate, it's somewhat ironic that you are an American heading a British Ukraine Chamber of Commerce, and we have at the same time a Brit, a friend of mine, Andy Hunda, heading yes. the American Chamber of Commerce. Why is that?
Well, I think it's down to provenance. But actually, although I may have a bit of an American accent, and I did go to Yale Law School and I grew up in America from English heritage, I've spent most of my working life in Great Britain and now here. I also studied law at Cambridge.
Well, impressive. For those of us from Britain like myself, I was at the LSE, but obviously a law degree from Cambridge still means something these days. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about the chamber itself. It's obviously not just business, though that's the primary aspect. Tell us a little bit about some of the support that you've given to all sorts of projects over the years. But first of all, let's focus on what is the aim of the chamber.
The chamber was set up after the ACC, and we also helped set up the EBA. And we don't try to reproduce what the ACC and the EBA does. They have a vast number of committees that do a fine job.
Tell us again what these acronyms mean.
European Business Association, EBA, ACC, American Chamber of Commerce.
And I'll just tell our listeners that we're listening to Bate Toms. I'm sorry, not Thomas, not the poet, not the Welsh poet. we're discussing the British-Ukraine Chamber of Commerce and many other things.
So what we try to do is we try to identify a number of the most important issues in Ukraine that are not being addressed, and we work on those. We also try to give special events in areas that we think benefit the country. So I can give you some examples of
Please
events
do.
And then some of the activities. I think the best event we've recently given was the dinner for President Poroshenko in London. We put around the table a great number of our members, CEOs of major companies and others, and had a really detailed discussion by each person there of projects that can actually be realized in Ukraine. So it wasn't one of these general fuzzy discussions.
Lord Mayor's dinner.
It was a real project focused. What can Ukrainian government support? How can they support it? What would they like to see? The president learning about initiatives by a number of our members, two of which I can talk about.
Please do.
And these are areas where our chamber sees a need, and so we've taken the initiative to make these two areas a focus. One is we think that private freight rail traffic, especially of containers, is something that Ukraine lacks. It's a natural business for Ukraine, and it's a multi-billion-dollar business. And with the excellent project of Hutchinson Ports to build a container terminal in southern Ukraine, we think that our chamber can help facilitate the rail link that it would be needed to make that port much larger than the current plans. Current plans are a port to import containers only into Ukraine. But if you can take those containers to Poland, you can get them to Poland, Scandinavia, and the Baltics, and Central.
And which port are you talking
Europe.
About, Odessa?
Odessa could also be done at Mykolaiv, but it looks like it'll be done maybe at Yuzhny, maybe at Ilyachovsk. Shipping that way cuts 2 to 3 weeks on the time of shipping from the factories in Asia to markets in those areas of Europe. That is a huge financial saving, and that translates into a very good business for Ukraine. The other area is irrigation farming. The south of Ukraine is affected by drought, and most of the climatologists say that this is going to continue because of climate change. It's going to get much worse. In fact, the biggest desert in Europe is in Kherson Oblast, and it's getting bigger. And Mykolaiv and southern Odessa could all begin to become more desert-like. And recently, yields in the southern parts of those oblasts are down to a ton per hectare, and in some years, no yield. We think that—
This is what, global warming or just
poor
irrigation?
Warming. This is global warming. So they needed irrigation. Irrigation was always beneficial. With good irrigation, you can get the yields up to even 14 tons per hectare of wheat. Phenomenal yields. And actually, farming in very relatively dry areas where you've got enough water is the best possible situation because rain during harvest can do a lot of damage. So it's like Southern California. You can get incredible yields, but you need the irrigation. And we've come up with techniques, ideas for bringing irrigation into these areas on a localized level, as has been done in the U.S., in Western U.S., without waiting for an overall scheme, which is being worked on now by the World Bank and that we all support. But we think we can get projects that will be meaningful. And initially, we're looking to 3 to 5 projects to go forward with.
Well, if you look,
and we have the world's biggest irrigation company involved, they're very supportive, and they have a long history in this part of the world. In fact, all of the irrigation equipment of the Soviet Union was based on the irrigation equipment of Valley Irrigation.
Well, Bate, you know, time is short, so let's try and condense
sure.
the last few minutes into some highlights.
A few
okay.
other things?
Looking back over the 26 years, what
yes.
would you say was one of your main achievements or was something that gave you personal satisfaction?
Well, hard to say. I get some satisfaction about being in Ukraine. I like the country. I think that the developments are really pleasing. I think on the other side, the most displeasing thing that's happened was the invasion of Crimea, the situation in Donetsk. I used to go there a lot. We gave a dinner every year. John Hughes, a Brit, founded Donetsk. Same for Lugansk, which was founded by an Englishman. We hope to be able to return to those areas. So I find myself very committed to this country. And we, as a chamber, try to do our part to get the message out to the rest of the world as to what, as to that the Ukrainian position is just and that Ukraine should be supported.
You've also been involved in supporting cultural activities. I was privileged to be part of something you recently did in supporting a leading authority on Impressionists, James Rubin, who came here at your invitation to rediscover the Ukrainian Impressionist painter Mikhailo Tkachenko. And so thank you on behalf of all of us for that initiative.
Well, that's got a ways to go still. We want to take those paintings abroad. We believe that Tkachenko, having been so recognized during his lifetime and then forgotten, offers Ukrainian art an opportunity to get the reputation of the West that it deserves. And we hope to do an exhibition in a major museum in London and in Paris, and both for the benefit of Tkachenko, but for the benefit of Ukrainian art in general, to call attention to Ukrainian artists.
Could you tell us about your re-involvement with the Yale alumni?
Well,
you've just come back from an event, and you've come to the studio straight from the airport.
Straight from the airport. We've created a Yale Club of Ukraine. I did that with a couple of friends. We found now we're up to about 65 alumni. Who spent time at Yale, and that's growing every day. Yale is a wonderful university, and anyone listening who would like to have their children take a look at Yale, we'd be happy to facilitate that.
Excellent. Okay, so summing up, last but not least, looking forward, you've been here 26 years. You remain, it seems, an optimist for the development of this country and its place in Europe and in the Euro-Atlantic scheme of things.
I guess I'd like to sum up by mentioning four things that I haven't mentioned that we're active in. One is that the response to Brexit. This offers a huge opportunity for Ukraine. The DCFTA is not as good as it's sort of cranked up to be, and a treaty with Britain should be much better because, to begin with, Britain imports half its agriculture, so it has a need for agriculture. The rest of the EU largely doesn't, and so there were limits imposed on Ukrainian imports. Those should be removed. Political conflict risk insurance would be very important and could step up Ukrainian investment hugely. And for that, there's a program that was developed by the World Bank's MIGA for the West Bank and Gaza. We want the same treatment for Ukraine. And we're working on that. Another is tourism. There should be much more tourism into Ukraine. We have a project for that. We're involving specialists in Britain. And last, we think that the court system is better than people understand, but there are problems. And we have a program for a legal ombudsman, as was used in Sweden, to immediately give people who've had a denial of justice, that's a decision where there's no justifiable basis, a remedy very quickly. I won the biggest such case in the history of Ukraine, as I mentioned earlier, in The Hague. But those cases take years. That case took 7.5 years. And while we got a full remedy, the investment was, of course, lost. They got compensation. Much better to have a legal ombudsman address those issues immediately while the investment can still be recovered. And I could spend an hour talking about that subject, but
What we didn't tell our listeners is how many companies and businesses are represented in the chamber.
We have several hundred companies, And we hope to grow that now, among other reasons, because we've come out with a discount card. Our membership card is now a discount card, which gives you discounts in Britain and in Ukraine, all over Ukraine.
So finally, I repeat my question. You remain an optimist, I gauge from what you've been telling us.
I think Ukraine should have a great future. It should be the world's number one exporter of agricultural goods. The IT sector is developing hugely. Yes, I think Ukraine should have a very fine future.
Thank you very much. So I've been talking to Bates C. Toms, the chairman of the British Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce. It's been a pleasure to have you as our guest this week.
Enjoyed it.
The legendary band Rutenia has released a new album. One of the new songs is called Perekote Pole, which means tumbleweed. See what musical influences you hear as you enjoy this.
Плині скутиги, зрошує ступні нігти, хто витягує сітю на берег щуку. Вітер в степу, шелест трави тебе вже немає. Там, де ти був, вітер гуляє. Там, в степу, вітер гуляє. Ті, хто забрав тебе степ, ще живі, а ти знов на волі. А тобі залишила весна ржавий плуг біля поля. Ти в степу перекоти поле. Ти в степу, іде твоя зброя. Над землею пісня лине твоя, мила Україна. Щаслива і багата, і в садочках білі хати. А ти в степу перекоти поле. Ти в степу, іде твоя зброя. Ти в степу перекоти поле. Перекоти поле. Ти в степу, іде твоя зброя. Ти в степу, перекоти поле. Над землею пісня лине твоя, мила Україна. І щаслива, і багата, і в садочках білі хати. Ти в степу перекоти поле. Ти в степу.
Next week, Bohdan Nahaila will be hosting the show and we'll be back with even more news, culture and music. So tune in again for a new edition of Ukraine Calling. We will be happy to receive any feedback from you. You can write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Oksana Smerechuk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.